speaking Azal Levonin about somebody that was either Nechrav in the Holocaust or was survived it and had what to carry over, to be Misyachid and to understand the losses that we've had, and maybe to those who gave us some Torah, some Hadracha, to be Taifas things. The person I want to speak about this year is somebody that was a sort of figure in our family, not visible, but somebody very close to my father, my father very close to, and that was Avraham Grudzinski, Shem Yikom Domo. Avraham Grudzinski was the Mashkiach of Slabodka. My father learned at Slabodka, got married, he had a business, and so on. And Rav Avraham was his Rebbe, his Rav. He was with him in the ghetto, and critical questions of life and death my father asked him, even though he was sech, because Rav Matl also, but Cholifin, Rav Avraham was the person who accepted his daya on some wrenching shilas, and that's somebody that I'd like to try to get a little bit an understanding of what we lost, who he was, and so on. Avraham Grudzinski was born in Warsaw in about 1882. So he was about 60 when the Holocaust came. He was his father was a big tzaddik, a poshtayid, but a very big tzaddik. People stayed by him. When he was 17 years old, the Alta Slabodka, he came to learn the Slabodka. The altar took a tremendous chavivus to him. And the altar saw in him this Talmud Muvhak. He then, during World War I, when the yeshiva went to Kremenchuk, this was deep in Russia, he went along and was like a Sami Mashkiach. He then came back and became part of Dan Hola. He went out to Israel to prepare Chevron for the Alta, came back, led the yeshiva until it was destroyed during World War II, and he died in the ghetto in 1942, approximately. I want to try to describe two parts, and the two parts fitting together is an incredible part of it. The first part was his being Oyved Hashem, or taking on the tzura that Slabodka gave. The Alta said about him, he was a 17-year-old boy who came there. The Alta at some point said that Zechelki Mikol HaMoli, he's the person, this is what I accomplished. He's the person I accomplished. The Alta said about him and his Avoida, he said the following Nusach. He said he was Kaina Musa with his blood. He ripped pieces out of his body, broke himself to pieces. But this Chiddush was that nobody heard the sound of it breaking. He's referring to a vertel that was common in the Musadika circles. It's a bit of a cynical take. They speak about Shviras Amidus, and they say there are some people that are Oisek Shviras Amidus, but everyone hears the bang. In other words, either it means the person has a lot of aftertaste, there's a lot of collateral damage that comes along when a person does it in a stupid and a crude way. A second meaning of it is person also likes to strut around and tell everybody about it. Ah, you should know I worked on a novel for so many years, and Baruch Hashem I've gotten somewhere, and so on. It's all, you hear the sound. It person makes sure that it rebounds, it resonates all over the Beis Medrash. The Alta said about him, he completely remade himself and not one sound was heard. He worked on himself on Seva Panim Yofis for 2 years. He worked on Seva Panim Yofis, they found out. He had Kabbalas on it, and that's what he worked on. His personality was Kol Kulei a Talmud of the Alta. His calm, first of all, his whole appearance was magnificent. Everyone who I've ever spoken to described him, he had very sharp eyes, very beautiful features. He was calm, collected, focused. And he, when he'd walk, the goyim would have tremendous hearts for him. He cast the Kol Kulei the Tzuras Adam that the Alter meant. Everything was thought through. Everything was deliberated. Everything was decided. Never ever did he have any. It was anything done by impulse. My father, Zechon Levracha, remembers a particularly very difficult moment. We'll speak about some of that. When there was a lot of turmoil, and my father was there, and somebody came in very angry at him, yelling, screaming. The person took a chair and threw it at him. And my father said, not a muscle moved on Reb Avrom. His tone didn't change. Nothing. He was in total control of himself. Whatever the Das said that should be done is what was done. He wrote a Sefer Taras Avrom, most of it shmuzin at the very end. We'll talk about that later also. So his Surah and his Tzelem was a quintessential Talmud. The Alter said, Zechelki mikol amali. This is what I meant. This is what I wanted. It was Das, himself sums up in a Shmuz, the three Yesodos of Slabodka is Machshava, Roimus HaNefesh, and Halacha. And he was the paradigm of that. Calm, collected, everything thought through, everything worked out, everything done the way it should be done, and casting a tremendous aura on the people around him. That was him as an Oivet. But there was a dimension that few other people had. And that was, he was a Bal Yisur Neira. Hard to imagine what he went through. He was born, I guess there was some problem with a foot, and he always suffered terribly from a foot. It was hard for him to walk around. It was pain. It was very painful. He got married in 1911. He got married to a very chashuva Heller. He was sort of somehow involved in the Unholy Yeshiva. I'm not sure exactly how. The same, he was a brother-in-law to Yaakov Kamenetsky. He also married, his civic rishon was a Heller. Was the same, the Hirsch and Michalik's, they were brother-in-laws, and there was another one. And his wife was Nifta when his oldest was 1929, his oldest child was 18, his youngest child was a year or two old. He was left with a whole family to raise. And those days, everything was excruciatingly difficult. Nothing was prepared, nothing was ready, nothing came your way. He didn't get remarried, and he had to raise a family. His oldest son was very affected by the Ptira, and never was the same. To understand what Slabodka is under Yesurim, when his wife passed away, he waited 2 days before making Dayan Emes. He said, the halacha is Kishem Shemevarchim. There was no honest Kishem Shemevarchim. It took me 2 days of struggling with myself that I could be Mekayim, the Kishem Shemevarchim. Mind you, he didn't forget it, because 10 years later, he wrote to somebody, "You should know, it's still an open wound, and it's never healed. It's the Kroyim Shenim Mis'achim Manefesh." But no one saw it. No one felt it. When he was sitting shiva for his wife, that took 2 days till he could say the dynamis, someone came into him and told him, "Baruch Hashem, I've gotten freed from the army." It was very difficult. Getting freed from the army was horrendous. He got up and gave him a warm embrace and kiss, and was sameach with him. Because Seva Ponim Yafis means it takes 2 years to work on it. Yeah, a painted smile and how to stand and pose, that takes a few days to figure out. But to be able to understand that the other person is not responsible for your tzaras, that takes 2 years on top of all the other work, on top of everything else he was working on, who knows what. But it took 2 years. He was still in the year for his wife. 4 years before that, the Alter had sent him to Chevron to be Miyasid Yeshiva there, to prepare the way for the Alter. He was Miyasid Yeshiva, and it grew very nicely. The Alter came, took over, and 4 years later, 1929, same year his wife was nifted, a few months later, there was the massacre in Chevron. His brother was hacked to pieces. Talmidim were killed. I think the number was 22 Talmidim killed and 16 wounded. And he said, it's the Pasuk in Iyov, "Oitzeh medaber v'zeh." I haven't come to grips with one bad idea, and the second one has fallen on me. And he felt, these were his Talmidim, his Chaverim, this was him. And he wrote, "Achi v'achai," my brother and my brothers were killed. The weight of the yeshiva rested on him. And in 1929, there was the depression in America. The market crashed and spiraled out. And the money stopped almost immediately. And it was a ripple effect. I say ripple effect, I say tidal effect. Europe closed down and money stopped, and it was all on his shoulders. And there were times he writes a letter, you know, forget about the big things, but even bread, literally bread to the yeshiva, they wouldn't supply because there was so much in debt, and he had to struggle with that. The 10 years between 1929 to 1939 was some of the roughest Ruchnistik years in Klal Yisrael. The winds were blowing out of the yeshivas, and people were becoming everything and anything, not leaving. And the yeshiva itself was a cauldron with so much going on and so many problems. And he had to navigate that ship. And then the war came. In 1939, so the first stage was Lithuania became quote unquote independent, the Ribbentrop-Molotov agreement. So Poland was cut to pieces, and a chunk came to Lithuania. Lithuania became a so-called independent country, and there was almost a year of somewhat reasonable accommodation. A year later, 1940, the communists decided that they're in the mood for Lithuania. They swallowed it up, and the first thing they did was close down the yeshivas, took away the building, and destroyed the yeshiva. He said a shmuz, Rabbi Avraham. They turned the yeshiva. His yeshiva had just been built. I don't even think they ever went into it. It's the new building. I saw it. I don't think it had been used even. they took it and made it into some sort of entertainment center. And Avram spoke and he said, "They're teaching us min hashamayim. We thought we were mekayim Torah mitoch oini. They're teaching us that we were vatal Torah mitoch oisha. We had as entertainment center. We ate, we drank, we put stories, and we came in to be mefaltal a little bit. That was our entertainment. So it became an entertainment center." That's how he saw it. That's how he took it. In 1941, the Germans invaded, took Lithuania, and began destroying the Eden. They made a ghetto, and they kept making actions to pull out the people from the ghetto, and killing them off. His house was a Beis Vad LeChachamim. His house was anybody Choshev who needed a place was by Rav Avram. I saw the house with my own eyes this year. And Rebbe Chanan was there. And that's from where he was taken to be killed. And 2 or 3 days before he was taken to be killed, he told Rebbe Chanan that he should say a shir on Kiddush Hashem. Rebbe Chanan said Rebbe Chanan was a person who needed tremendous clarity of mind. And he said, "The time is not, there's no tzlusa d'shmaitza." And Rav Avram told him, "No, now is the time to say the shir." And he acquiesced. He spent a few hours, and then he said a shir on it. Now Rav Avram said a shmuz. "We don't have that shir. We don't have that shmuz. It belongs to a world beyond us. We don't have no shaykhist it." But Rav Avram was the one who pushed him and said, This is the time for those Divrei Torah. The Divrei Torah on Kiddush Hashem, now is the time to be miskala. He struggled for 3 more years in the ghetto until he was killed. He left over shmuzen, put together the Sefer Torah Avram. The shmuzen he wrote himself, and he wrote them at the end of the tkufa, 37 and onwards, 1937 to 1940, at the shmuzen we have. He said shmuzen in the ghetto to be mechazik people. He insisted that in Shabbos people don't cry. He was mechazik people tremendously. He said he was meyased a chabura. He said, and he was one of Avram's tchunas that comes across in the shmuzen. He was a tremendous Baal Halacha. He also said about the Altas Labotke, people don't know, he was a Baki Otsum in Arachayim. He said Kol Arachayim was Munach in front of Kaf Yodai. And he was Miyasid the Yeshiva, that Yeshiva should always gehalten ala Tzara Yosef Toiv La Halacha. He himself was also a big Baal Halacha. And Bimela, he was, he said that Dagarata is the halacha of Hilchas Deis, Chayvus Alvavus, and b'meili you have to be mekayim it. It's not nice sayings. And b'meili said, it says in Chazal, who's an apikoyrus? Those that say, mayahani l'rabbanan. That what's the point of Rabbanan? And they learn it from Bavura Asara, I'm going to save stone. So he said, shtetach da, that if you have 10 people that are tzaddikim, you save the city. And it's a miyased avad of 10 people. He said to be mekabel kabbalas, and let that be called tzaddikim. At least if we shtel tzu that we want to do right, that's also something. And there's a list of 12 in Yonim that he felt people were nichshelim the most. And they worked on it, and so on. The shmuzen that he said in the ghetto from 41 to 43, we don't have. They were hidden. They were written up. He wrote them up. They were put away. We don't have it. And Libi Oimali, it belongs to a different world. It's the world beyond our world. It's not, that's the Torah that's somewhere else. Nashkocha didn't have it for us because we don't have Shaykh. The Torah belongs together with Rabbi Chanan, Shir Klali, and his Musa Shmuz. But we have a Sefer. In his Sefer, he speaks about the things that a normal Bal Musa would speak about, Mashkiach, and so on. Shmuzim very tzazak and so on, but there's one chelik of it that's extraordinary. and that I want to a little bit torduch, and that was on Yisurim. He wrote a Marocha on Yisurim. I'm not familiar that anyone else would write in it. Nobody wishes it on himself. It's a delicate topic, and he wrote on it. And there's no one like him to write about it. A person who lived his whole life mi yusav yisurim, and a person who lived his whole life as a bal musar and above the yisurim, is the right person to write about it. And today is the right day to learn a little bit about it. The first thing he writes is, the first nekuda that I want to bring up is the nekuda of what yisurim are. And he says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaks to us, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu talks through Nevi'im. When there's no Nevu'ah, how does HaKadosh Baruch Hu talk to us? And the answer is Yisurim. Yisurim is a conversation between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and people. It's a conversation to tell us what we're doing right and what we're doing wrong. Just like a doctor, there's the saying now, listen to your own body. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is talking. And every single Yisurim is a message. When we were Zeicha, it's just like Mashal. Imagine somebody is about to cross a busy street, or somebody is not, he's not getting on the train on time. So you yell at the person, watch out, move forward. Let's say a person is deaf. What do you do with the person? You push him. You push him away, you pull him away, you push him in. He doesn't hear. So you have to physically guide him. Yisurim is HaKadosh Baruch Hu pushing and pulling us. And if a person were to understand it, was to understand what Yisurim are, a person would deal with it differently. A person would understand that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is talking to him. He explained a misconception about how to be Mekabel Yisurim. And this is a chiddush. This is something that, at first glance, not like everyone else. He builds it on a Tosfos. Tosfos in Yerushalmi. Tosfos brings Yerushalmi in Brachos. Tosfos Seita brings Yerushalmi in Brachos. It says that when Rabbi Akiva was being taken to be killed, and they were peeling his flesh, his skin, Zman Krishma came and began to smile. And Tonasurvas Rosh said to him, are you a magician, or are you being bayit b'yisurim? Bayit b'yisurim is rejecting yisurim. What does that mean? So Rabbi Avraham said, becoming hardened, becoming inured to yisurim, becoming apathetic, is being bayit b'yisurim. That's not what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want you to not care about the Yisurim. Doesn't want you to laugh and to jump and to dance and to sing. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants you to listen. A person needs to feel every single stab of pain. It needs to bother him that Yitzur Kapov HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Tzelem Elokim, is suffering. And that suffering is a communication from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Being Mekabel Yisurim, the way a person ought to be Mekabel Yisurim, means to live the Yisurim, to live them, to understand them, to grow from them. That's what being Mekabel Yisurim is. No one else could say that. No one. No one else has the right to say it. No one else can say it. He said it. His own when he was, it's like he was smashed up by the Nazis, and he said the thing that hurts him is Sel Malakim being hushchas by Chayes HaSoda. No one ever detected any sense of his Yisurim, because that was Malchus, that was Atzilus. He was kept himself in total command, control. Yisurim is a conversation between him and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The matzav in the ghetto began to get worse and worse. And they made aktsias, they took away children, old people. We spoke a little bit about it when we spoke about Matl. Most people, when an aktsia was over, they would breathe a sigh of relief if everybody was intact. Rabbi Avraham would sit and think about all the people that were taken away and live their tsar, because that's what Yisurim is. He writes, Yisurim are not only your Yisurim, they're other people's Yisurim also. And yet, the same person could be calm, collected, never lost it. Always his equanimity and his anhag with other people. There were days they didn't have what to eat. And when they would finally get a piece of bread or whatever it was, you couldn't tell from his eating that it's been days since he ate something. Never ever allowed Tzel Malakim to become submerged in the behemoth of a person. And finally, end came. And the end, the Nazis in 40, decided to liquidate the ghetto. They liquidated the ghetto, took away everybody. They commanded everyone to get out, and they took everybody who was able-bodied to work or to be worked to death. That's my father was in that group in Dachau. And everything else was destroyed and burned down. He was hidden in a bunker. They caught him. The Nazis were very upset. The Nazi kicked him so hard that he smashed his pelvis. And he physically couldn't walk. Forgetting about the pain even, just couldn't walk. And they took him to the so-called hospital. With other people there. And they knew that the Germans were not into Bikachayim. It wasn't their thing. They would destroy the hospital with everybody in it. That was clear. And they were there with him. And finally, basically the Germans said, anybody left able-bodied must come now again to the field, wherever it is, the middle. And that's it. And they're going to burn down everything else. He asked that they lift him up and bring him physically to the place and stand him up. And they asked him, why? What for? I mean, he's going to collapse. It's not tayach. I mean, he has nothing to hold him up. His pain was incredible. What's the show? What's it going to do? So he said, Mir halten heint basauni vateluni. He said, his Rebbe the Alter had said a shmuz about Yoina. Yoina said, B'shaliyah sarazeh, it's all because of me. So he told the sailors, Sauni vateluni, take me, pick me up, drag me out, and throw me overboard. Why didn't he jump? Why do you say Sauni vateluni? So the Alter said, because it would take much longer if they would drag him out and lift him over than if we would jump over. And to be zeicher a few more moments of life is Ein L'Sharia. Yofesho achas poilum hazeh with tshuva ma'asim tovim then kol chayom haba. So there's a special avoda for a person. This is uni vataluni to be zeichen a few more moments of life. That's also an avoda. So Avram said, "Mir halten heint basa uni vataluni." This is the sugya that's negiah to me now. They tried. They couldn't physically. It wasn't shy to hold him up. And he remained in the bed. In the Gesegnzach. They burnt down the hospital with all the occupants. While I was laying there in the hospital, my father, this I heard from someone else who was there, a group of Yosemim were wandering through. People, children, had no fathers or mothers, and they saw him. He had tremendous hadas upon him, a tremendous person, even broken, he had tremendous presence. And their eyes lit up, and they said, Zayde, Zayde. Efshe vese zaynun zeta. Maybe you'll become our father. And he said, Kinderlach, ich allein darf mein Tate heint. I myself need a father. And it's interesting, I think he meant Yalta Slabotka, the last years he said he misses Dan Hugger and he felt that he's helpless because he doesn't have the das and the tvuna of the altar. Like upon him, they burnt down the hospital with him and everything. There's a Yidri Bissa Gibraltar, Mayor Vesrim, still alive, was there in the ghetto. And he wrote very recently actually a description. And he said he came back 2 days later, expecting to find the ashes and bones and things. He said it was eerie. There was nothing there. The hospital was a wooden structure built on a concrete slab. There was not a drop. Nothing was left. Just the concrete slab and the metal frame of the beds. Anything else that was combustible, there wasn't any ashes left. It was eerie. It was very, this was, he'd been used to the destruction and the churban of everything else in the ghetto. My high. I would like to say, use his words to describe a hargosha about it. He writes in a Maimah Chesed V'Kim Oilam that he said in 39, Va'aftas Hashem al-Kerem cholavavcha. What does Becholavavcha mean? Pirushoi, Levatlas Kolmidas V'Kaitas HaNefesh. To be Levatla, a person's midos, a person's hopes, aspirations, Kochs HaNefesh. Ach oz oid nisha retzoin achayim atzmoi. But one thing you have left when you give everything away is the desire to live. Ashekol ashal lo yitim bad nafshoi. Aval Bechol nafshecho, he says, Allahu gam bitl retzoin achayim. Kol nafshecho means to be mevatel your desire to be and to live for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Gam bitl erech haseichel shel adam ha'imer mutav shechal shabbos arse yishchayim shabbos harbe. And this is a knetch that Rav Avram gives. We think of an emotional desire to hold on to life. Rav Avram said, the ultimate tfisa of Seichel Adam is what's the point of dying? It's a svara in the Gemara. The Gemara is Ladina. Seichel Adam at its best is tyfus, that remaining alive is better than anything else. Mesiris nefesh im ha'odam b'das slulash asamaisa. Mesiris nefesh, if a person is clear-minded, harehu zikuch hanefesh at katzehu, it is a total zikuch hanefesh of a person. Hafshata shel kol negia atzmis, the complete removal of anything that's negia atzmis. Avram is explaining b'chol nafshecha, and this is what he said. Somebody visited him in that last few moments in the hospital, and he spoke about Rabbi Akiva and the B'chol Nafshecha. B'chol Nafshecha means to give up the very last speck of self. If you've given up everything, there's nothing left. The Pasuk says, "V'yosheva ofa al ha'aretz kishahoya v'aruach toshev el lekim." The offer goes back to the earth, because that's where it is, and the ruach goes on to lekim. When somebody's mitzias, when somebody has worked on himself, so that there's nothing left. B'chol nafshecha. And once again, only Rabbi Avram, he says in one of his shmuzin, he says, when a person imagines b'chol nafshecha, so the picture we have is, you're standing by a fire, and a guy says, either shmad yourself or jump in, and you jump in on Kiddush Hashem. Why doesn't a person ever picture it as strolling in? Why were we jumping in? And he says, because a person knows that he would think he couldn't do it, and he wouldn't do it. That avoda b'chol nafshecha is that a person does it with his mind, totally. And when a person does it, there's nothing left. There's no offer left anymore. Everything is ruach. It goes back to lekim. I want to go back again to the picture. I want to understand what it means, avodas hamusar. First of all, there's a story, very, very little basis for it, that the Baal HaTosfos, they were, you know, they were surrounded by the enemies, and they cut their hands, they cut the veins, and they wrote the Tosfos with the blood. Very, very little marker for it. But these shmuzin were written with the blood of his heart. These were shmuzin. He put together a few mamari chazal to entertain the ilim, because he had to say a shmuz. This is you don't hear and you don't feel that he slid open the arteries of his heart and wrote Marocha after Marocha, Yesurim, Mesiras Nefesh, Golus and Gula. This is written with the Dhamma Tamsis of a Kaddish Elyon. Why aren't people in the spoil from that? People look for Mises. Unfound, who knows what. This is something written. The Shmuz of Soni Vataluni, he lived it. There was a Shmuz, it was a nice Shmuz. He had a vert to say over from the altar. He lived it. It's incredible. Mir halten heint bas Soni Vataluni. My mind is misuddha, all my Rebbe Shmuzin, and each has a sugya. There's sugyas in halacha, and each one has a simin shacharach and a sifkaten. And then there's shmuzin. When he writes about yisurim, he writes them so profound. He says, "What's the job of a navi? We have Sanhedrin." Sanhedrin tells halacha. A navi is not even mechadish halacha. So what is a navi mechadish? The Avraham says a navi is mechadish the mitzias, not the halacha. So he says, and he brings this example. He says Shaul came running to Shmuel like Moshe Dvar Hashem. His problem wasn't in halacha. His problem wasn't the yun wasn't the shach of time wasn't off in halacha. It was off in the person. This was Dvar Hashem, you were running to be Mekayim. You were scared of your people. He says, Yisurim are nevur, because they tell a person about himself. This is the Shulchan Aruch comes in what the Torah wants and what the Torah wants of you. And therefore, the Musar is the Shulchan Aruch of being Doimeloi, of Mahu Af Ata, of being Medamet to him. I want to take that final picture. And I want to try to frame it. Here we have somebody who lived a nesiv of Yisurin, a physical pain since he remembered, a loss of his wife, at the most crucial age, at the age of when his family, when he has his full family of 8 children, lost his wife, brother massacred, his talmidim devastated in heaven, 22 of them killed, 10 years of horrendous economic struggle, ideological struggles, all through it, with the calm, like he said, Slabotsky built on 3 things, on Machshava, Roimus HaNefesh, and Halacha. True to each and every one of these, never lost himself. This is, my father knew him very well, intimately well, in different matzavim. Never, ever anything other than the picture of calm deliberation and thinking, what's the right thing to do now? Living that every yisurim, all those intense yisurim, not by denying them, not by repressing them, but by living each one and understanding each one is a communication from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is a miss, that's a miss, the other thing's a miss. We all. I mean, you ask everybody, would you want a Kach Baruch communicate with you? Of course. What do you think Kach Baruch is going to do? Chat about the weather? What is the Kach Baruch going to do? He's going to tell you how to be better. And that means by criticizing. And that's how he took every bit of Yisurim. He's laying in a hospital bed, quote unquote hospital. Oymid Lemisa. His yeshiva gone. The building that he worked so hard in such difficult circumstances taken away. The yeshiva disbanded and scattered. His wife long dead, and he still has gotten over it. His children, he had 8 children. One of them was hidden by a goya. Who knows what would happen with her? One daughter he was zeichet to marry, Reb Chaim Kreisworth, was Bechayev married. Reb Volbe and Reb Bar Rosenberg were already after his patira. A young boy, Reb Yitzhak should be living with well, an extraordinary person who spent his formative years smuggling potatoes in the ghetto. This is the child, this is my son, the one that's going to remain living, is spending his years, instead of learning, he's spending his years smuggling potatoes so we have something to eat. Everything, his whole world destroyed, fallen apart. His physically yisurim intensified at Ein L'Shaya. A broken person. And he says, Heint halt mir, basa uni vataluni. I still have avoida to live a few more hours of this life. Because no matter how difficult it is, but it's a proizdar. Every a moment in this life, and Kadosh Baruch Hu knows what's the right life. Is a chanef nitzach nitzachim. Every minute they nitzachim. Heit halt mi basoni hateluni. When I had a hargasha, the word sauni hateluni also means, sauni means lift me up. Su marim enechem. This is a moment of uplifting. There is no other moment like this. I was mezachach myself a whole life. But there's still something left. And that's Bechol Nafshecha. There's an irony to it. Bechol Nafshecha, he says, a person wants to hold on to his rutzin of living. He adds a knetch to it. Again, a knetch that's miyuchat to him because of the cheder that it comes from. A rutzin for Chaim includes my understanding of what's right. My understanding of what's right, of Mutav Shechal Shabbos Echad, is something that is an understanding of what's right. It's axiomatic to a person, and the mela for somebody who's kulei machshava, this is axiomatic to it. The last self that he had was a desire to be mekayim, sauni vataluni. The Rebbe said, Sauni vataluni. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu was goyzer not. And Ratzon Hashem was not. That's called being mevatel, the last bit. Is there a pillar that there's nothing left? All we have left of him is the Dhamma Tamsis that he poured into the Shemusin and explaining what Yisurim are, how to deal with Yisurim, how to be Misraimim, how to listen to HaKadosh Baruch communicating and so on. Everything else, the ashes, the earth, the bones, the stones, they're not here anymore. They're part of the Ruach that went back to Elohim. I want to add one more Hagasha to the general topic. There was a forest fire somewhere, and the forest was destroyed. I don't remember the context. I mean, this happens all the time. Maybe it was in Yerushalayim. They had in the Prozdor Yerushalayim, the Har Yehuda. They had arson and fires a few years ago, and people bemoaned the loss of the forest. And then a year or two later, the place was booming with life, and people, you know, the papers wrote about it. They, you know, take a look; it's full. Everything is flowers pushing up all over, and grass, and you know, all sorts of little creatures. B'chulu, the resiliency of life. But that's nechume hevel. There were trees there. Trees take a very, very, very long time to grow. There's a lot of grass now, nice grass, flowers. Some of those grass blades are going to shoot and become trees. But what are you talking about? You know, we talk about Arzei Levonim year after year, and people look around and they say, Baruch Hashem, Torah is flourishing, so much Torah is around, and everywhere where you go, and you know, with all the problems, yes, it's true. Chasdei Hashem. But do we understand where a person like that comes from? Do you understand that it took a century to build a person like that? It took Rabbi Saul Salanter, who brought into this world the musig of working on yourself, and he made it. He was maimed the Talmud, the Alta of Kelim, who brought into this world the musig of incredible self-discipline, who brought a Talmud into this world, the Alta Slabotka, who understood Remus HaNefesh, Didik HaLocha, who was maimed somebody they call Zechelki Mikol HaMoli. This is what I wanted, Rav Avraham. And he worked on himself from the age 17 to 60 when he was killed. He worked on himself. If he worked 2 years on Sefer Panim Yofes, so how many years did he work on being Mekabel Yisurim Ba'ava? And how many years did he work on not being Mesiach Das? And how many years did he work on everything? Layer after layer after layer. Arzei Levonim. Every single person we spoke about was a culmination of decades and a century of work. And we menachem ourselves that Baruch Hashem, Bez Hashem, there will be. But we're starting from ground zero again. Understanding the lives of these people, understanding how much was built into it, how much of the people, how much was Oiskebeit, how much there was there, gives us a very, very different sense of what the Churban is. The Churban is a Churban of Arzei Levonim, Arozim, and Bertzois Hashem, there'll be a Arozim again. But it takes a century of work to produce Rabbi Avraham that can look on a culmination of Yisurim and say Mir Halten Vasuni Vataluni, that can say the Bechol Nafshecha is the last piece of self that a person wants to survive with his axioms, to survive his understanding, and to give that up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because now that's Ratzon Hashem. That takes a very, very long time. That's what we're mekainen on when we say Arzei Levonim.